as Curtis is getting ready to come up and present things to us. Most of you have been here long enough that you have some idea of Keka Retreat Center. Trevor was the first one actually to go from this group and begin to introduce us to that ministry. Curtis went with them, I think, 2 years later, right, and for the first time. And now another team, Curtis, sort of, did you kind of head that up? It's kind of looked at as the experienced one there, and was able to go up and be a part of that ministry again. And when I was in Washington State a few weeks ago, had the privilege of meeting Vera Pence, whose husband was an important key part in getting this ministry going. And the more I've learned about what is being done, especially with the indigenous people groups that are there in Alaska, just understanding the needs that are there and the opportunity that this ministry presents. It's been an encouragement to me not only to pray while our kids are there with them ministering, but throughout the year. And I hope that, in fact, as Curtis presents us today, you'll consider taking that on as a part of your regular prayer support. It's a ministry that is going through transition, obviously, with Kyle Stevens, from our vantage point, untimely death. And so there are changes that are taking place, but that the needs are still very much there. Without further ado, Curtis, thank you for being willing to share this with us today.
Is this on? Okay, cool. All right, well, first of all, I just wanted to say a big thank you to all of you who have prayed and given, and in some cases, Bibles. This is actually a Bible from the Keiko that Mrs. Homiak gave. So if you want to take a look at it later, here he is. But, oh, there we go. So this is going to be a little bit different of a slideshow than maybe you've seen in the past, because I think most of you are sort of Keiko veterans in a sense that, you know, we've given you the overview of camp and you kind of know what's going on. So I'm going to give a small preview of where it is, what we're doing up there, but then I'm going to move into sort of a week-by-week basis and show you what exactly went on and just take it as it comes. So here we go. It's going to do it from here. There we go. Okay. So this is Bethel. That's the Bethel Airport. So this is just a little bit of background about the place. So this little green dot, I took a picture of Alaska, and I'm not sure if you can see this little black circles, and in the middle there's the dot. That is exactly where Keiko is. So Russian Mission is like probably in that dot as well, but that is exactly where Keiko is located. Then these little black circles, I'm not sure if you can see those all the way back there, but that is the radius of where we can get children from. So right over here, that's Hooper Bay. So that's on the very, very edge. It's actually a little bit bigger of a village that we get a lot of campers from. So we can reach children all over here. That entire area of Alaska we can get kids from. It takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours by plane to get to Hooper Bay. But, yeah, that's the extent. So this area, this is maybe what you think of when you think of Alaska. I did not take this picture, of course. I still haven't seen any moose or bears while I've been up there. This entire time, I've never seen it. I mean, that's kind of a blessing. But, you know, it would be fun to see a bear or something once in a while. So you often, this is maybe what you think of when you think Alaska. But I do get to see a little taste of this in Anchorage. But this is more the Alaska that I'm familiar with. So this is the Yukon River Delta. So the Yukon River is right by Keiko. And it's just all this marshy, just lakes, rivers, tundra. All of this is just wet, marshy tundra. And this is the environment that a lot of these villages are in. There's no trees. A lot of it's clouded. There's not a lot of sunshine. So this is Bethel. So if you were coming, I guess I'll share when we did, we went from Nashville to San Francisco to Anchorage, and then Anchorage to Bethel. So this is the the landing spot. This is where we, from all over the country, wherever the counselors are from, they come into Bethel, and then Keiko will pick them up from Bethel and take them to Keiko. So this is an aerial shot. I actually took this picture from the Yellow Plain. This is about the extent of the city. And as you see, it's probably grown from this, but in 2010, it was only about 6,000 people. So it's a very, very small village. And this is like the big city of the Yukon Delta. So all the, you know, oh, you're from Bethel. You're from that big city way out there. So, yep, that's about it. So this is the Yukon. So Bethel is going to be farther that way, and Keiko is just across the Yukon in those mountains over there. So here you get a little bit more trees. It's still very marshy, very wooded, lots of rivers stemming from the Yukon. And actually, I think right over here is about where Kyle's plane crashed. They had a little marker on the GPS, so it was somewhere right along this area that they found his plane. So that was an experience flying over that. Okay, so the people that we minister to, there are a few, mostly from Bethel, you'll see white people, but most of the other people are indigenous. So there's two groups. There's the Eskimos, which I guess you would call Yupiks. They're from Russia, China. So there's more Asiatic people that came over to Alaska. Then the Native Americans are the Athabascans, I think that's how you pronounce it. They are, you know, Native Americans. They came up from America. So we get mostly Yupik children, and that's part of the language. They'll speak a lot of Yupik words. They're semi-fluent. I'd say they're probably more fluent in English, but there's a lot of people that can speak. They speak phrases of Yupik up there, so that's part of the language group. This is a village. I am not sure what village it is, but I took this from the plane. I was going back to Bethel for a shopping run. So this was a village that I saw. So you see, this is back in the river delta, just marsh river. And that's about their entire little village, probably a few hundred people. So not very much, not much to do out there. All right. So chronologically, we arrived on June 3rd. So we left a little bit before. I think it was June 2nd that we left Nashville. And we arrived in Keiko June 3rd, departed July 16th. So 6 full weeks of camp. This is us. This is our Tennessee group. So it's a little bit different from previous years. Of course, Trevor didn't go this year, but Madeline Stark used to come with us from Tennessee. She actually went to a earlier, so she wasn't there with us this time. So that's me, of course. That's the moose, our famous moose picture. This is Emily Freeman. She was the only one of the group that had been previously. So in 2017, Trevor, me, and Emily and a few others went. So we were the only two ones that actually had been to Keiko before. So this is Aaron Moore and Timothy Fern and then Alex McCarver. So they all knew Emily. And I, of course, know them from Clarksville. These two live in Clarksville. Alex is from Memphis, somewhere around Memphis, I think Jackson. So, yes, this was our team. Fairly inexperienced because Emily and me had only been up once, and then everybody else had only been up 0 times. So, yeah, that was about the extent of our experience. So this was Anchorage, so I got a little bit of a pretty view of the mountains, but that's about the last I saw of them. Fortunately. So as I said, we went to San Francisco for a very long 8 to 10 hour layover in the middle of the night. So this was our little bivouac of blankets and stuff. It was very boring. But we made it and went. So this is coming from Bethel. Again, this is the Yukon going from Bethel to Keiko. Okay, so let me get to this. If you guys would turn to Matthew 28 in your Bibles. Some of you may know it's coming, but of course, oh, he got back from a mission trip. Of course, he's going to do the Great Commission. But this is actually one of the passages that they had us read to the kids. So a little bit different from last year. Last year was a little bit looser, of course, with Kyle. He had, you know, his own teaching style. But John Erickson, who some of you may know. He's been up to Keiko for a very, very long time. Not in a leadership position, but he's kind of the handyman, go-to person of Keiko. So he was the director this year. I thought it was a pretty good idea. After every sermon, we would do one in the morning and one in the evening. He would give a reading assignment to the cabins. So you could, of course, you are supposed to read that, but you could go off and do whatever you wanted to, as far as preaching-wise, in cabin time. But this was one of the Bible assignment readings. So it says, I'm going to start at verse 18. Then Jesus came near and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you to the end of the age." So it's, of course, coming back from a mission trip, this is good for me to remember, but it's also interesting that we had it as a reading assignment for our kids, because later on, a few weeks later, there was a group of people from a new village that we had never yet had kids from, as far as we understand. So we hope and pray, and I hope that you will all hope and pray, that these kids can be lights in their own villages. As much as we are lights going up there and spreading the light of God's word, we want the kids to go and make disciples. Even if they don't make disciples, then at least tell other people, hey, there's this ministry, or hey, you know, God loves you, and we love them too. So we really hope that especially the kids from that new village will branch off and bring more people up. So back to the story, Home Sweet Keiko. So it was kind of a rush. So we left June 2nd. I believe June 3rd was the Sunday. That's when we got in. We got in at like 8 o'clock at night. And Monday morning we got kids. So, oh, here's just a picture of camp. Yeah, Sunday scramble. So we got in at 8 o'clock, kids next day, so we had very, very little time to get situated and like, oh, we have kids tomorrow. So, but it was exciting. So this is just a picture of the boiler. I believe this is the thing that Fix-It guy that you got in contact with, he made and helped. So this allowed hot water to go to the wash house so we could take hot showers. And that was very nice. And then this is, Trevor might remember, there used to be a land bridge here, but a lot of flooding had happened, and this was actually washed out, so they kind of made a makeshift bridge to get from the airport to the cabins. So there we go, week one. So for me, week one is an interesting time because in some ways it's my best week because I'm excited. You know, here we are, it's week one, good counselor, but in other ways, it's new, so I almost want to say stricter with what I allow my kids to do, and I feel sometimes it's not quite as good. So it's an interesting, the first week, but one of the most fun, because everybody's just ready to counsel, ready to have fun with the kids. So first camper of the year, this was Daylin. And, of course, Aaron. So interesting story about the first week. So I was counseling the four – there's four, of course, four guy cabins, four girl cabins. So I was counseling on my own in Willow. And then Tim from our team, he was counseling Fireweed. Philip Stevens, Kyle's brother, his younger brother, he was counseling in Denali. And then – oh, yes, Ben Trevon was counseling in Yukon. So far, no co-counselors, which is, you know, a lot of times they'll have two people to a cabin, but this week there wasn't supposed to be any co-counselors. But Daylin, my first camper, he really bonded with Aaron. So Daylin was like, hey, he should be our co-counselor so he can sleep with us. So I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. So I asked John, and John was like, yeah, if you're okay with that, then that's good. And it turned out to be a very, very good thing that he did, because I needed the help this week. So it was kind of cool this year as opposed to last year. Last year, everything was completely new. But this time, even though I wasn't as experienced as maybe Trevor had been his third year, but I knew a few people. a few of the campers, a few of the counselors. So this was Sterling, and I had to take a picture of him because he looked exactly like Bennett. I would do a double take. I would be walking past him and be like, Bennett, what is this? He was a really cool kid, yes. And then in this picture, that's Sterling again, and then this is Nicholas. So I'm not sure how many of you remember from the texts that I may have sent or maybe that my mom shared, but Nicholas was my trouble kid this week. So I'm very glad that Aaron was able to be my co-counselor because a lot of times I was off with Nicholas. He would be, you know, pouting or throwing a tantrum. He didn't want to go to Bible study. He didn't want to do any of this stuff. So I'm okay with that because that's why I'm there. I'm there to reach those hard kids. But it's tricky because when you have a troubled child like Nicholas, then I have to be with him. But then I had 6 campers that week, so there's 5 other kids running around camp doing who knows what, and they need supervision, but I also really need to stay with Nicholas. So Aaron was a huge, huge help this week, and I'm very glad that God brought that together, and, you know, he was able to help out that way. So while I was with Nicholas in the cabin doing whatever or helping him do the things that he liked to do, then Aaron was able to watch my other kids. So I tried to get pictures each week of my campers. It didn't completely work out all the time, but here's some of them. There was Cody, which Trevor had counseled last year. Nicholas, of course, is right there. James is right there. Jadrian, and then Dalen. Dalen had hurt his foot, so he was not in that picture. He was too wounded to do any of the activities. So just a little bit of background on the activities. They try and add a new one each year. So there's, of course, the normal archery. There's rifles, canoeing, zipline, pool, and airsoft. But the pool they actually added this year, John Erickson is pretty much an all-around, you know, he does EMT, he does volunteer firefighter, all that stuff. So he had done scuba diving. Actually, I think like scuba rescue or something like that. So he had his scuba gear and they would put it in the pool and the kids could swim around and breathe underwater and everything. So they really enjoyed that. So it was kind of our new activity this year. There we go. So a few things got painted. This used to be kind of a dull bluish color, but they spent a few weeks before camp getting it all ready. And that's another huge need is tear down and putting it up, because camp isn't just the 6 weeks of summer camp. There's before summer camp in the spring, there's family camp. So people are up there for that, helping with that. And then there's the main attraction, the summer camps. And after that, there's ladies berry picking camps. So it's not all year. Of course, winter, you can't really do anything. But there's stuff going on all throughout the year. So again, a huge need is people to be there when there's not summer camp. Tearing down the stuff, like the zip line isn't up all year, of course. They have to make sure that, you know, ice and snow would destroy that pretty quick. So, there we go. Okay, so a little bit more background for those of you who don't know. So we do the 2 Bible times. Of course, a little bit different with Kyle not being there. People have their own teaching styles, and Kyle was very used to teaching this specific group of people. But John Erickson was willing. He actually was not planning on doing all of the preaching. They had planned to bring in a few different preachers from Native people to people from down in the lower 48. But for some reason, those never really panned out the way that we wanted them to. Sometimes they would speak, sometimes... but the kids, it didn't really resonate the same way. I'm not sure why, but they did listen to John Erickson. So I'm really glad that worked out. He was not prepared to preach all 6 weeks, but he did end up doing most of the preaching. So very thankful for him and the way he resonated with the kids. I was very happy. So most of the Bible time, it's a little bit different each week, of course, with the different age groups. There's the little kids, and we do more of the skits and stuff to help them. And then the bigger kids, there's a lot more, you know, the teenagers, a lot more Bible reading. and memorization and things like that. So the theme for our Bible for all of the 6 weeks, of course there were small variations, but the general theme was how big is your God? So as far as campers and their spiritual beliefs, it's kind of a weird hodgepodge. There's a lot of Russian Orthodoxy up there. So that's one of the main religions. If you see a little church in one of the villages, it's rare, but that's probably a Russian Orthodox church. And the Russian Orthodox priests don't really like us there. They don't really like Keiko being there because it disrupts their influence and over the people, and they just don't like us. So that has been diminishing, which we're very thankful that God has even converted some of the main priests. So their power over that is gradually getting less, and we're very thankful for that because they were pretty hostile towards us spreading the gospel in their villages. So, but yeah, they're kind of a weird mixture of native Aboriginal spiritualism and animism, and then you also have this Russian Orthodoxy. So they're not completely unfamiliar with the concept of a God and the Bible, but it's often diluted and polluted by their spiritual beliefs and their animism. So our aim was to make much of the one true God. There's, of course, in their lives, there's all sorts of distractions. They have many, many gods, you know, materials that they've put over God or, you know, their own native beliefs. So our goal this year was to make much of the true God. So Keiko Mountain. So over the course of the week, we have, of course, every morning and evening is Bible time, but then we have different activities to kind of spice up the week. So we have Monday and Friday are normally fairly stressful for the counselors because there's not anything to really do. There's not any planned activities. So because we're still getting kids in it or getting kids out. So Monday and Friday, there isn't really any activities, even though we still do Bible time in the evening and the morning. But Tuesday is our normal activities. We rotate out cabins, and there's cabin teams. We have time for archery, riflery, and all those previously explained activities. But Wednesday, we get to go up to this little mountain here. It's not really a mountain. It's more of a hill. There's way, way bigger mountains around. But it's still fun to be that high up, and got a few good pictures. There we go. This is from the mountain, and that's Keiko. And then if you see way, this little sliver over there, that's the Yukon. And then farther that way is going to be Bethel. So I believe that's south. Could be wrong. Bethel is like southwest or southeast of Keiko. And then Thursday, or sorry, Friday. Sorry, that should be Thursday. I'm not sure why it's Friday. Thursday is the infamous spaghetti night. So we have each of the cabins will do a skit on Thursday because it's kind of the last night. We want to have a party with the kids, let them have fun for their last night there. Trevor will remember the egg beater. Dalen, this is Dalen, my first camper. He got the egg beater because on spaghetti night, you're not supposed to use any normal utensils. You have to use all wacky utensils. So there's very messy, and I'm glad that we're not, you know, you have to clean your tables, but I kind of pity the dishwashers for Thursday night. It's pretty messy, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for the kids and us, too. So so that was week one. So week one overall was probably my toughest week counseling. Just the other guys were fairly mischievous, but not terrible, but Nicholas took a lot of time and a lot of energy. And I would appreciate you praying for him because a lot of times when they're like that, I had actually a camper last year in 2017. His name was Dimitri. He was very hard. He was a tricky camper. I was co-counselor for Philip Stevens, so we had him. And he would, you know, throw stuff at people. He would refuse to do anything. So eventually we had to send him back, like on a Wednesday or something. And there's a point where Nicholas never got to that point, of course, but where you have to, they're just not being obedient. Have to send them back. But I found out a few days later that his mom had actually just committed suicide like a week, even a few days before he came to Keiko. So a lot of times, even though they're tough, and that experience helped me to realize, you know, maybe there's something going on with him that I'm not seeing. Maybe he's not just being difficult, but that something's going on in his life. So that was just emotionally and physically one of the toughest weeks for me. So it was bittersweet. Of course, you know, I got to rest on the weekend, very much needed rest, but it was sad to see them go because they're going back to that sort of environment. So, so on the weekends, we get to do a lot of like normal touristy things that you might get to do in Alaska. Of course, there's mostly just sleeping in, but we can do hiking up the mountains. We went on a fishing trip, even though we didn't really catch any fish, but it was fun. So we got to get out and see the Alaskan wilderness a little bit. Again, it looks maybe fun to hike, but that was all just tundra that you could sink in to your ankles, just complete wet, marshy, lots of mosquitoes. I mean, you think camp is bad, the wilderness is terrible with the mosquitoes. So all of this, if you had seen his hat, that was Luke Trevon, his hat was just black with mosquitoes, and you could shake them off and they'd come back on again. So a quick note, actually, I'll just go on here. I'll talk about the Trevons a little bit later. So week two, the pilot situation was interesting this year because normally we have a few, you know, committed pilots that they fly 2 to 3 planes. But this year we had a new kind of shift of pilots come in. A friend of one of last year's pilots was our main pilot. His name was Jordan. So he was all there all 6 weeks. And then we had a few other random guest pilots come in for a few weeks at a time or even a few days at a time, and then they'd leave. So because, if you remember the radius for Keiko, because some of the villages are so far away and because we had actually a lot of people come this year, so we had to do a little bit of extra flying, and that meant bringing in people on Sunday night as opposed to Monday morning. So that didn't happen every week, but this week, week two, we had a flight to Hooper Bay all the way, you know, several hours, and then they came back on Sunday night, and we had campers then. So it's kind of demoralizing, even though, you know, you're there for the campers, but still, that Sunday night is one good night of sleep that so Madeline Stark, she went up again. Of course, she didn't fly with us, but Madeline and I got the two girls and the two boys that had come in on Sunday from Hooper. So that was, you know, I'm going to lose my night of sleep. But, you know, whatever. It's okay. We're there for the campers anyway. So it was long because we had those extra flights in there, and I was counseling Sunday night as well. But it was a very good week, and it was a welcome respite from the previous week because I was scared, like, oh, man, if this is my first week, then it's all downhill from here. But this week was actually really good. I had only 4 campers. So the previous week I had 6. This one was only 4. And they were all super good, super nice. There was Otta over here, Mikhail, Mason, and Casey. So this was my cabin. Normal amount of campers, I'd say, is about 5. That's a pretty good, decent number. You kind of have your hands full. 6 is kind of like, might be a little bit full. And then 7, you really need a co-counselor for that. But 4 is very, very easy, especially when they're just 4. This was, so the first week had been elementary week. This was junior high week. But these guys were pretty much elementary anyway because they were so young. So it was a very long week because I had them on Sunday and didn't get them out until later on Friday. But it was still a very, very good week. As opposed to just watching Nicholas the first time, I was able to connect with all of them, and they were really good campers. So, yep, just the 4 of us. And then, yes, so this was the last week for most of the Trevons. This is a really interesting fact about them. So they're from England, actually, the Trevon family. They live in northern, closer to Scotland, England. So their dad, the dad of the family, had been, I think he's some sort of a secret agent or something. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what he does, but I think he works with some of the secret police stuff in England. But they had actually lived in Clarksville, which was interesting. So he is a pilot, of course, that's why he was there. He flew for the first 2 weeks. So he, Andy, was a pilot, and he and his wife had lived in Clarksville for pilot training. And Luke, the oldest son, was almost born in Clarksville, but there's some weird healthcare thing that they had to be. He had to be born in England, and he's still kind of sore about not being born in America, because they're very, at least the two sons are very, very conservative, and they love, you know, America and everything. And so he was kind of disappointed that he didn't get to be a dual citizen. But that's why they come, is because they had connections from Clarksville and somehow got connected to Keiko. So he was a pilot. Luke was kind of the handyman around camp. He did a lot of fixer-upper jobs. Karen, Andy's wife, was the nurse for the first 2 weeks. And then Ben was a counselor. So these three, Ben, Andy, and Karen, left after the second week. And then Luke stayed for all six of the weeks. So lots of fun with the British-speaking people. There were lots of questions from the kids about, oh, can you say this? Can you say this? Because, you know, they have British accents. So can you say water? Say water bottle or anything like that. It was funny. And it was hard for us not to laugh, too, because, you know, they have funny accents. But, yeah, it was pretty funny. But they were lots of fun, and we were very sad to see them go. So third week, I didn't take a ton of pictures. This week, I didn't really get a lot of pictures of my campers. So this is part of the reason. So the first 2 weeks I'd been counseling in Willow, which is my favorite cabin. It's the nicest, it has carpet, and it's secluded, it's farther away from everybody else. So it's kind of quiet and peaceful and everything. But Yukon is kind of the dump heap of camp, you know. It's not very nice, it's kind of smelly, it has tile and everything. So when Ben left, Ben Trevon had been in Yukon, and so I was chosen to fill his place. And also, interesting note, my cabin, Willow, was used for the girls. So sometimes, generally it's 4 and 4, but occasionally if there's an off-balance week where more girls or more boys signed up, then they'll take one of the cabins and switch it to a girl cabin or switch it to a guy cabin. So the second week, actually, that we already passed, Aaron counseled in Cottonwood, which is a girl cabin. So we had 5 guy cabins that week. That's part of the reason I only had 4 guys. But this week, they did the opposite, and they took Willow and converted it to a girl cabin because there were a lot more girls this week. So it makes it easier on the people who have more kids. So there were more girls, so it was spread out more evenly. But then that kind of compresses the other gender. So I had 6 guys again this week, which was a bit of a handful going from 4 to 6 again. They were fairly good, but they just kept me on my toes, which was why I didn't take a lot of pictures this week. So I had 6. There's Christian, Hanson, Jarek, Jacob, Jeremiah, and Ernie. So Ernie, actually, Trevor and I had co-counseled the year before in 2017, so it was nice to see him again. But other than Jacob, all the others were first-time campers in Keiko. So that was kind of interesting. And that's partly why I was so busy was, you know, they had no idea what to do. So it was showing them around a lot. This was the week that we got the campers from Kipnuk. I believe that's how I tried to spell it, and it didn't work out so well. So I just said New Villages. But it was really fun because these people had never heard of Keiko. They'd never been to Keiko before. So we got 3 guys from Kipnuk. And Jeremiah, he was from Kipnuk. He was one of my campers. And then the other 2 guy cabins got the other campers from Kipnuk. So again, this was kind of a longer week because we only had 1 pilot. So in the previous weeks, we had had a few other pilots coming in and going. But this week, we only had Jordan. So that's the average camp week is about 40 to 45 kids. And then our biggest plane holds 5 people. So when you're going from village to village to village to village, and you can only fit 5 people and then bring them in, that was a very long time. We actually did get people on Sunday, but because they had seen, you know, oh, these counselors kind of do need their sleep. So they had some of the staff look after the kids on Sunday, and then we would get them on Monday when everybody else arrived. So we got campers on Sunday night, and then these, the Kipna crew, and one of my other campers didn't leave until the following Saturday morning. So we had campers from Sunday night to Saturday morning. So it was a very, very long week, but it was, again, very good. So this was, it was interesting to reconnect with this family, the Sebos. They went to our church from Warner in California. So Ashley was the cook. She's, I think, the oldest sibling of the Sebo family. And then Daniel in the picture, he is second youngest, I believe. So it was kind of fun because Ashley, back in a program that actually Kyle had started, with a counseling program for the kids in our area in California, Ashley had been one of my counselors. So it was kind of funny and kind of a weird coincidence to meet her up there and my counselor being the cook, and then I'm the counselor now for these kids. So it was really fun to meet up with them. Daniel was staff for most of the weeks. He did counsel one of the weeks. But he was really good. The kids all loved him, and he was able to do ventriloquism, I believe is how you say that, the puppets, you know. So he made his own puppets. He would bring them up. The kids loved it. He would even do this little thing where he'd have his hand on your shoulder and, like, tap you to open your mouth, and then it'd make it look like he was talking. So he'd do all these different voice impressions, and then you would be, like, the human puppet sort of a thing. So it was fun, and the kids, he would talk for hours, and the kids would just love it. So that was very helpful in this Friday because, as I said, all the kids weren't gone until the following Saturday. So that Friday was, there weren't really any activities planned because there's kids flying out, but we still have a few kids per cabin. So that was a very long day just finding stuff for the kids to do. So Daniel was a very big help during that. I just want to read another passage that we would go through with the kids. This was Elijah and the prophet. So this is going to be 1 Kings 18. So this was, again, going back to our theme of how big is your God. This was a really good one that I used with the kids a lot of which is the true God, because they have lots of influences in their life. They have, you know, Russian Orthodoxy, but also all these other spirits and all these other religions that have kind of melded together. So this was a really interesting passage to use as far as who is the true God. And I would tell them, you know, if in this example it's Baal versus God. If Baal is the true God, you want to follow Baal. I want to follow Baal. If he's the true God, then why don't we follow him? But if God is the true God, then follow him. And that's exactly what Elijah was saying here. And I'm not going to read the entire thing. It's very long, but I'll read the end here. So then Elijah said to the prophet, this is verse 25 of Baal, since you are so numerous, choose for yourselves one bowl and prepare it first and then call in the name of your God, but don't light the fire. So they did that, skipping down. 27, you know the story. The prophets were, you know, they took all their time all day long to call to Baal and it didn't work. Then skipping down to verse 36. At the time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet approached the altar and said, Yahweh, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that at your word I have done all these things. Answer me, Lord. Answer me so that this people will know you, Yahweh, our God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you. Then Yahweh's fire fell and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell face down and said, Yahweh, he is God. Yahweh, he is God. So this was a very good passage to use for the kids because they enjoyed, you know, seeing the miracle of God. But also, at the end, of course, the prophets of Baal are all killed. So this was a good passage to demonstrate to them that God can save you, of course. He is God. But there is also punishment for not accepting him. And in the case of these prophets, their punishment was death. So that was a good passage for them. I'm just going to skip over here to week 4, teen week. So Teen Week is fun, and it's different, though, too, because it's like you don't think of it much as being different, but when you think of it in, compared to here, that's like me counseling Tommy or Jared for six of them for 5 days. So it's a little bit weird because they're almost your age. And, in fact, there were a lot of people. It goes up to age 18, so there were kids. I didn't counsel any of them, but there were kids that were my age. So it was kind of weird being a counselor to these super big, tough guys. I only had, I think my oldest was 16 years old, but I had 15 and 16-year-olds. So it's a completely different dynamic. You go from being, you know, you want to be sort of a big brother figure to these little kids, but then when they're older, you don't want to be their overlord and telling them what to do. You have to just be their friend, which makes obedience a little bit more of an issue. But, you know, I had a fairly good week as far as that was concerned. So my campers for this fourth week, I had six again. Six was kind of my number for most of camp. I had a lot of six weeks. So Devin had already left at this point. This was taken on a Friday. But this was Justin, Gavin, and then Matthew had all been in Trevor's cabins at one time or another, which was fun because they kind of knew who I was. And then Keith, this was his first time, I believe. And then Jalen had been there a few times. I don't think Trevor had counseled him, though. So it was very fun. As far as Teen Week goes, just lots of good conversations as far as spirituality goes. And, you know, because the little kids, they understand, but there's a certain level of understanding. They can't get all of the higher-up theology and stuff, of course. So it was good and kind of refreshing to be able to really talk to them about what's important, what they'd been through, their experiences, and how God related to that. It's also, it's kind of a paradox. It's kind of an easier week because these guys, you know, they're not all running around and you don't fear that they'll trip and fall in the pond or anything. You know, they can take care of themselves to an extent, but also one of the most emotionally draining as far as what they've seen, what they've been through, their family situations, because at this point they're full adults in their villages. A lot of the girls have, some of them have been pregnant at this point already, and either some of them, I don't think we've had any this year, but they've aborted children already, and these guys have just been through a lot that normal, average 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds would not have ever dreamed of being through. So it's very draining, but also rejuvenating to be able to talk through them on that level. It was interesting as far as village life goes. This was Keith and Matthew. They were some of my best campers. So this, they're cousins. And then this is Kayla. This was Emily's camper. So Matthew is her uncle, but Kayla is older than her. So they were constantly, you know, oh, I'm your uncle, but I'm older than you. You do what I say. So it was fun. They were a really fun trio. We would play cards with them down in the basement of the lodge. They were a lot of fun. But they were all from Tuluksak, which in the past has been a harder village as far as kids go because it's a lot poorer. It's so a lot rougher kids. This year we didn't have as much of a problem with it. But it's funny, I was talking with Keith and Matthew, and they were like, oh, yeah, we used to have this toilet, and we still do, but it's, like, completely dusty. We can't even use it. We haven't taken a shower in there. The shower is just full of dust. So, but then they were like, oh, Mountain Village has clean water. They have running water. They can take showers. Oh, wow, that's so cool. So it's interesting. That was kind of a shocker. It's like, okay, interesting. The Tuluksak just is very poor. They don't have, again, you saw the marshy. That's pretty much where they live. That's what they do. There's fishing and welfare. That's about the only jobs that are available there. So interesting dynamic for them. It was very fun for them to be able to take showers and just, you know, do normal stuff that we normally wouldn't think about there in Keiko. So again, it's kind of before on the weekend I was gearing up. You know, I was like, this is going to be hard because I had never counseled Teen Week before. I left last year before the first Teen Week, and I did not have a co-counselor this year. So I was very happy and pleased with how it went, and God was definitely with me during this, because there were six of them. I was outnumbered 6-1, but they were a good group, and I enjoyed working with them. So this was interesting on, I believe it was Friday. So this was a normal week. We didn't have any kids come in on Sunday or leave on Saturday. We just got them all on Monday, and then they left Friday. So I went back to Bethel we were dropping off a camper there. An interesting story for her, she actually may be moving out to Tennessee with her family. She was one of the very few white kids that we actually got to counsel. So her family had moved to Bethel. I'm not sure why. I think something with a job her dad did. So it was exciting for us because we got an opportunity to go back to the big city. You know, oh, Bethel, it's got an actual store and actual stuff. So me and Allison Weaver she's from Ohio. She went up there and she was a counselor. And then Alice is from California. She was a counselor there. So us three, we went back with this camper to Bethel. And as you could see in the other picture, it's small, but it's a very sprawling city. So there's like no double-decker buildings, but it's a lot spread out over this large area. So we didn't exactly take that into account because the airport is several miles from the nearest store, the AC store. It's kind of their Walmart up there. So it takes about an hour to walk from the airport. So you're like, oh, we're not walking that whole thing. And taxis are very expensive because it's so sprawling. The taxi drivers can make as much money as they want off of you. So we really didn't want to go pay a ton of money and then pay more money at this expensive store because everything's super expensive up there. But the camper's dad, and I wish I could remember her name, but he was there and he offered to take us to the AC store and back. So that was very nice. And I think she was one of very few people who's actually raised in a fairly Christian home. So their dad had been, I believe, from Tennessee. So they're planning to maybe move back to Tennessee in the future. But it was very nice to see somebody up there like that. And he drove us to the AC store. And then the camper, you know, was with us. She's like, oh, here's the store. So we went in there, and it was just, there's chips and soda and ice cream and all this stuff. And we were, you know, going through the aisles just wide-eyed. And it must have been so embarrassing for her because we were just, look, ice cream. Oh, there's chips and processed food and everything. So it was funny. And we had a lot of fun just going through the store and taking whatever we could. It was expensive, of course, so you can't buy everything. But that was a lot of fun to go through town with her. So week 5 was the last elementary week. So the first week had been elementary. The next two were junior high. Fourth week was teen, and then this was another elementary. So this was good to see them again. Again, some old campers. These both had been in Trevor's cabin, and they were very sad that you were not there. They were, yeah, but it was good to see them again. I was actually staff this week. So this was the one week that I was not counseling. I was just on staff. And this was actually the week of the 4th of July, which was turned out to be a very good thing as far as God's timing is concerned. Because Monday afternoon, I got hit with a really bad fever. Like, it was morning, I was fine. By lunchtime, I was just out of it. So I was very glad I was not counseling because I would not have been able to keep up with the kids. So I took, the fever was broke. I took a very long nap that day. That was very good. So the fever broke around Monday night, but I was sick pretty much this entire week and all the weeks after, but the worst part of it was definitely this week. So it was good to kind of sit that one out as far as that's concerned, but it was a little bit sad because I like counseling a lot better than staffing, but this is a really good aerial shot that we took this year. I'm like right there, I think. So this is just the layout of camp. There's the cabins for the kids. That's the Hooley Lodge where all the stuff goes on. These are all staff houses. Then just other various sheds. This is the airport, zip line, rappelling tower. Mountain is that way, and then the Yukon and Bethel is going to be that way. That's just a cool aerial shot. So the 4th of July is a really big to-do up there. That's kind of our big holiday. So I was sick, but I was able to, you know, function well enough. So we had our parade. We had all the big equipment, so fork lifters and I don't know whatever what else you call those, but all the four-wheelers, too. We decorated all of them. Emily was the Statue of Liberty. I was something red, white, and blue, and, you know, so we had a lot of fun. We threw candy to the kids. And that was a fun day. So that's me. Aaron, me, and Emily all took a break that week. That was our staff week. So interesting, this is actually my mom's doing, because you're not supposed to post camper pictures on Facebook, so just to keep their information private. So my mom posted this on Facebook and kind of edited out their faces. But I didn't get to take very many pictures of the parade because I was in it, so I'm glad we had that. Let's see. So the final week, we decided to have a Christmas party, because we were bored and didn't really have anything else to do. And also, we're not around each other. We're from all sorts of places in the United States. So we thought it'd be fun to do a Christmas party, Christmas in July. So you think now is early for setting up Christmas decorations. We've already had our Christmas party. So we baked cookies. This is our little Charlie Brown tree that we chopped down somewhere in the Alaskan wilderness. There were boxes of stuff, so that was lots of fun. But the last week, this is from Lord of the Rings, if you don't know. This is King Theoden right before his fortress is about to be attacked by this huge army. So this is kind of how I felt for the last week. Not because I wasn't excited to be counseling, but I was sick, and by the sixth week, you're tired. And this was going to be the week with 50-plus kids. So this was a huge week, which I probably would have felt better at counseling the first week. There were going to be a lot of campers, and they were also predicting it to be a more guy-heavy week. So that was really, I think I texted my mom about, you know, I'm going to need some prayer for this week, because we're shorter on staff. A lot of the staff comes in, at least this year, a lot of the staff came in the first few weeks, and then the Trebons, they stayed for the first 2 weeks, and then they left, so we were kind of losing people, so we were down to our core 30 or so for the entire camp. The entire staff was about 30 people, so that was a lot of kids that we were predicting, and it ended up being, I think, exactly 50 kids, where the average is normally around 40, so we had more pilots, though, so that was good. We didn't have any long, extended weeks. But this week, I think, turned out to be one of my best weeks as far as counseling is concerned. So just here, we had so many kids. There is a cabin, a bigger cabin, down by the runway that's called King Salmon. So we were on a King Salmon alert because we weren't sure if we were going to have more people, more counselors, for all of these kids that were coming in. We ended up not needing it, but I counseled Willow. I got Willow back, which I was very happy with. Tim counseled Fireweed, Philip counseled Denali, that was pretty usual for all of the weeks, and then Aaron counseled Yukon, and we were really short staffed, so Aaron's only 16, and he had a co-counselor who was 14, and that's about all we had. Like, it probably would have been best if everybody had a co-counselor, but we really just did not have that many people. So we ended up not using King Salmon. The girls had it slightly easier, even though we had a lot of people. So actually we did get kids a load from Hooper Bay on Sunday night, so they were there for the party. The Christmas party was pretty fun. We did a Secret Santa exchange and everything, so we kind of, you know, people got rocks for their presents and, you know, anything you could find. We actually gave Luke Trevon our Tennessee flag, and he was very happy. We made him an honorary Tennessean that night. So this was Monday morning. I was just reading through Proverbs because, you know, I was like, this week is going to be tough. So this verse, I took a picture of it because it was very encouraging to me. This one right here, every word of God is, paraphrasing, is a shield to them that put their trust in him. So that was incredibly encouraging. And so I was just reading through Proverbs that morning. I already had at least one camper from Sunday, so I already had kids at this point, but we were getting more in. So for the cabins, there were 7 per cabin, and then I was the only one who had 6 kids. So there were 7 guys in each of the guy cabins. So Aaron, he was co-counseling with Jonathan. So he got all these little cute guys. They were super nice and everything. But they weren't. They looked cute, but they were probably the hardest cabin that week was Aaron and Jonathan. So this is John Erickson, by the way. He was the director. He thought that he was being nice by giving Aaron all of the cute little campers, but they turned out to be not so cute as far as personality goes. So this was my final cabin. I had six guys. Drayden was from Bethel. Nazaree, I'm not sure if Nazaree should have been. This was a junior high week. He really, I think, was in elementary. I'm not sure if he was entirely truthful about his age. But I'm very glad he did, because he was probably my best camper of pretty much all of CACO. Sam had, Trevor and me had counseled him in the past. And then Jeremy, Kenton, and Caleb. So as far as connecting and with them, this was a very good week. I was able to really reach to them. And I think because it was the last week, there was kind of a, you know, final hoorah sort of a sense about the counselors. So we really had a lot of fun. We didn't clean our cabin terribly well, because I was like, you know, it's the last week. Do we really have to clean a ton? So they didn't really want to clean. I didn't really want to clean, so we didn't clean a ton. But it worked out in the end. So this is actually the last slide that I have, this Nazaree there. So I think I'm actually about out of time. But I just wanted to say another huge thank you to all of you for praying and giving and just everything, because it helped. As you see, when I would text my mom, you know, I really need prayer this week, and many of you responded, and definitely it was felt, because a lot of the weeks that I felt would be worst actually turned out to be some of the best. So just thank you again for that, and then be praying for CACO just in the future, as far as leadership goes, as far as funding goes. And, you know, a lot of people think that praying is the least that you can do. Like, oh, you know, I'll pray, and then, oh, I'll give a financial donation. That's really good. But I really think that praying is the most that you can do, because we can give money. But that's in our power. But God is the most powerful. He can do whatever he wants. If he wants money there, then he can get it, even if it's not from us. So praying is definitely the most that you can do. And I would just encourage you to keep doing that and keep CACO in your prayers as we figure stuff out for next year. So thank you for letting me speak and for letting me show you guys.
Curtis, thank you. I didn't tell him to do that, you know. you know, we're at the top of the hour, and just is there just a question or two that is dogging you right now that he could answer for everybody's benefit? Chris? That was a good question, Chris. Yeah. Okay. Going once, going twice. Julie.
First year is not going to be your best year, but your second year will be better, and you gain
Yes, Lisa.
Because the ratio of guys to girls is about like 3 or 4 to 1, like about 3 or 4 girls to every guy. So that's another thing that you can be praying for. Is I'm not exactly sure why, but the guys, they're all tough kids. So sharing them that way, it's a little bit hard to get through that shell and get to their really heart of the problem. But Ada was my one who was actually converted, and he, that was during my second week, the one that I was able to actually really connect with them and share with them. I was able to do so on a certain level throughout the other weeks, but that was because I only had 4, I was able to really take time to spend with this one and then this one and, you know, the individual, as opposed to when you have 6 or 7 kids running around, you gotta kind of, make sure they're not jumping in the pond or anything. So Otto was my one guy who was, he actually made a profession of faith. And that was, I believe, on the 3rd or 2nd day. So it was kind of a logical progression of going through the salvation story of, you know, as far as reading goes, we would do the... You know, here's all the gods that are out there. There's many, many gods. There's the Muslim faith, there's Buddhism, there's animism, all these things. We would present that to them. But we said, you know, you have to decide which one of these. You have millions of options. Which one is the true one? So we would kind of go through and explore that. And it would kind of come to a head around the 2nd day of, you know, we would read the Elijah story and a few other stories that I didn't quite have time to share, but I can share with you definitely, that really displayed God's power and this is the true God as opposed to all these other. So you would start to see a lot more people actually confessing around that time. And then, of course, Friday night, we do not really an altar call, but, you know, you're kind of supposed to stress that as far as cabin times go. But yeah, there were definitely, I had that one, but there were quite a few as far as the girl cabins were concerned. And then there were several of the guys, not nearly as many of the girls, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Curtis, very much. By the way, quick question. How many of you, if you're a believer today, became a believer the very first time you heard the gospel? I see. Yeah. So in the case of these kids, by the way, and understand there's just a whole different culture. Trevor and Curtis have come back and explained each time the culture in which they grow up. It is so different. And those of us who had kind of Christian homes and the security that that brought us, it is so different from them. And when they've come back and they're careful about the stories they share, but you realize in these villages, when they come to Keiko, the kids almost to a person say, it's a relief. We don't have to worry about the drunk uncle kicking in the door and coming in beating up mom or the abuses and things that go on. And so this is just it's a spark of light and a lot of darkness that's there. I'm very thankful for that. As we close in prayer today, let's remember the first boy that you mentioned. It was a very difficult boy. Nicholas, thank you. And that ministry. So will you join me, please, in prayer? Thank you, Father, for so many things. Connecting us to Keiko, connecting the Comptons to Keiko, for Trevor's trips up and now Curtis's, and the growing understanding we have of the need of the gospel worldwide, but in this particular area, and what a needy area, but what a difficult area because of all the logistics and the culture and the rest, and really the bottom line, Father, because we're all descended from Adam, and we're dead in our trespasses and sins. We thank you for the instruction that the Lord Jesus gave us to take the gospel to all nations, and to teach them all things that you've commanded us, and the great assurance that you are with us to the end of the age. We pray for Nicholas in particular, but we pray for all of these campers who have been being exposed to the gospel, to Christians, and that you would be pleased, Father, to part the curtains in their minds and their hearts, turn on the light so that they get the idea of the difference that you make in our human lives, that you would bring multitudes to faith, and that you would do wonderful things in their lives. And we pray for Keiko Retreat Center at this important time. Lots of changes going on. Lord, all of the needs, not just material, but spiritual, emotional, logistical, all the things, Father, that you see far beyond us. We pray that you would meet their needs and that you would raise up a real light for yourself in this darkness. Keep it there, Father, for Christ's sake. As Christ told us to pray, that your name would be hallowed, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for this now today. And as we dismiss and go next door, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're dismissed.